Come on. There we go. I didn't do anything. Okay. Let me get started. I'm going to go straight into this. John chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, that's where we're going to park ourselves this morning. John chapter 8. Early the next morning, Jesus was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. Nothing like an early morning Bible study. They're all together gathering before the temple, but across the town, in a small dark room, lovers, man and a woman, together embraced in passionate lovemaking, naked on a bed, when all of a sudden, bang, the door bursts open, light streams in, men shouting, screaming, the woman naked grabs whatever she can to cover herself. What's going on? What are these noises? She feels hands grabbing her. And the hands grab her and throw her. And next thing you know, she's in the middle of a busy Jerusalem street. What happened? What's going on? People stop. They're all looking at her. A moment ago, she was embraced in the arms of her lover. Now she's in the dirt of a busy street, grabbing onto whatever piece of material she can to cover her nakedness. And people are looking at her. People are looking at her. From the corner of her eye, she sees men scowling, angry, yelling at her, grabbing her, pulling her, dragging her down the street. What's going on? She looks at the people around her, and she can see in their eyes. She can see their thoughts behind their eyes. Disgust. Shame. Sinful. Condemned. She knows she's been caught. She knows those looks. She knows she's been caught. Where are they taking her now? As Jesus was teaching, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. She finds herself in the middle of a circle of people she has never seen before. On show, thrown in the middle of it. And the Pharisees say, "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? What do you say? Whose law is it? Law of Moses? No. It's God's law. And Jesus, is he not the Son of God? Is this not his law too?" They're all gripping the stones, waiting to mete out judgment. And the woman, laying there on the ground, should she plead for mercy? To who? Who should she plead the mercy? To God? Really? It's his priests that are squeezing the stones. It's his priests that are ready to mete out judgment on her with the tools of her execution. She has no hope. God is not there to save her. She has no hope. She has no one to turn to. But then something strange happens. Something strange happens. Someone stooped for her. Huh? What? Someone stooped for her. That Jesus stooped down and wrote with his finger in the dust. He stooped down. He went down, down. So that all that were above, they looked down on her. But they've got to look further down to see Jesus. What a strange thing to do. Why would he do this? But Jesus has a knack of stooping. He stooped to wash feet. He stooped to pull Peter out of the sea. He stooped to pray in the garden, and he stooped to carry the cross. What a strange God. Funny, though, we believe in a God who stoops. And he's writing in the sand. What is he writing? What a weird thing for him to do, writing in the sand. Why would he do that? What is he writing? The last time we read in the Bible about God running his hands through dirt was a time when he formed humanity from the dirt, when he formed you and me. Out of that dirt. Maybe Jesus is reminding himself of that. But what is he writing? People are getting impatient. What is he doing? Look, you want to answer our questions they kept demanding? So he stood up again. He stood up again and he faced them. All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And you can just see they're gripping the stone and beginning with the oldest. The stones begin to drop. Beginning with the oldest. They relent their grip. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. The accusers. And Jesus asked her this simple question: where are your accusers now? Where are your accusers now? Do you know we have an accuser? One who spent a lot of time before the throne of God accusing us. And maybe rightfully so. We are sinners. We are broken. We are prideful. There are wars everywhere. We bicker over little things. We are addicted to our own selfishness. Maybe this accuser has a right to accuse us. But something has happened to that accuser. It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brother and sisters have been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before our God day and night, he is gone from the presence of God. Do you know where he stood in the presence of God? In Zechariah 3, 1-2, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Our accuser is named Satan." And at one point, he stood at the right hand of God and accused us day and night. But he has now been cast out, thrown away, the stones have been dropped, and someone has taken his place. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor. Where? At God's right hand. And is he accusing us day and night? No. But Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us, interceding for us, standing up for us. Jesus brings redemption. Satan brings regret. Regret. There is not one person here who is not sinful. We all have our dark secrets. We all have that sin that we hold on to, whether we pack it away in the back rooms of our minds or our hearts, whether we hide it from one another or we wear it on our sleeve. We've given into it. And there are people in our lives who love to call out disgust, shame, sinful, condemned. Satan loves to remind us of our failings. Satan loves to hold us down and let us drown in our own brokenness. But guess what? Satan does not have the last word. Christ has acted on your behalf. He stooped down low enough to be born in a manger, to be rubbing shoulders with thieves and prostitutes, to be spat on, whipped, nailed, and speared, to be killed and buried. Our God stooped down for us. Stooped down for you and me. But here's the thing. On this day that we remember every year, he stood up. He stood up, up from the grave, up for the woman, the adulterer, up for you and for me. This is our Lord Jesus. This is our God. Hebrews 10, 21 to 22. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences, our sin, our disgust, our shame, our condemnation have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the end of the story, it goes on, Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" And she says, "No, Lord." She had no idea who this person was beforehand. A moment ago, they were all strangers. Now she refers to him as Lord. "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." After the Bible study, the courtyard was empty. They all left. The stones on the ground, abandoned, unused. All that was left was the writing in the sand. What did he write? But that's all that's left. It's the same writing and the same message that you will find in the empty tomb if Jesus were to leave us a message. It's the same writing there. And it's a message for all of us this morning. Grace happened here. Grace happened here. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him all glory and honor and praise be to him. And everyone here said, Amen.